Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Random Chatter. This is episode, I don't know. What are we on? 106?
You just looked it up.
What's that?
You just looked it up.
I just looked it up. That's how short my memory is.
His memory is not what it used to be.
No. Oh, well.
I think it was too much LDS back in the 70s.
LDS or LSD?
Oh, you didn't get my reference.
I didn't. Oh, man. See, I am such a loser of a podcast host tonight.
That's okay. My grandpa was a recovering Mormon, so.
Ladies and gentlemen, fortunately, since I'm not catching any of the references tonight, I am joined by not only by my co-host Lou, but by Mike from the Sabacc Table and from the Retro Convo. Mike, how you doing tonight?
I'm fantastic. How is everybody doing?
I was doing okay until I started dropping the ball here.
I'm doing great.
Oh, yeah, sure. You're doing great.
I mean, you were wrong before, and I get to correct you. Hey, see, someone's got
my
Star Trek reference there. Carrie, thank you.
Man.
Don't worry. There's two of us now to catch you, Eric.
Yeah. Yeah, great. I'll be getting it in stereo. Just what I need.
Now, is that to catch him when he's falling down or to catch that he was falling down and we can point it out?
Well, if we caught him while he was falling down, that would imply that we trust him or he trusts us.
Yeah, not so much. I trust you to kick me so that then I fall down so that you can catch me, point out that you caught me, and then let me drop. Yeah, it was an episode of Community, season one, the debate episode. Anyway, sorry, tangent. Already
it was a good episode. No, that was a good episode.
Yeah, I missed that show. They got their six seasons and they're never getting their movie. So sad.
Nope.
Anyway, so we don't really have a game plan for this episode, which is kind of becoming the standard here for Random Chatter, and yet we generally find things to talk about. And Mike, I know you are quite a gamer, so I want to get into gaming a little bit here in a few minutes. But first, you are also, of course, a fellow Star Wars fan.
Absolutely.
And earlier today, we got the trailer for, excuse me, Lou, the teaser trailer.
Just wanted to make sure you knew that.
Teaser trailer, not a teaser, not a trailer, a teaser trailer for Rogue One. So.
Woo!
Freaking no kidding. Awesome. What'd you guys think?
That was literally what I woke up to this morning. Cause
nice.
It came out, I think, what time for you guys, like on the East Coast?
It was probably close to 8 o'clock.
Way earlier than I expected.
Yeah. I figured it'd be towards the end of GMA.
Yeah. GMA being Good Morning America, obviously.
Yeah. I woke up at 7:30 Pacific time. And literally like this had already been on 10 of my friends on Facebook's page. And I just dove right in. I watched it at least three times this morning, and then I had to wait for my fiance to wake up so that I could show it to her. And yeah, we've just that shot of the Star Destroyer in front of the Death Star and just everything about it's just been.
Yeah, it was awesome. I mean, just to clarify the time, my tweet of wow was at 7:50 this morning.
Hmm.
So yeah, just before 8 o'clock. And you're right, Mike. The individual shots were just so impressive to me. The Star Destroyers against the backdrop of the immense Death Star was just awesome. It gave some real scale to it that we really hadn't seen before, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, because I don't think we've seen a Star Destroyer up against a Death Star in A New Hope.
I don't think so, no.
No, I don't think we did. No, that's a good point.
I mean, we had the Falcon flying towards it and the TIE fighter, streaming away from it. We had the Falcon going into one of the shuttle bays there, wherever they are, the docking bays, whatever it was. And that was really it for scenes with other ships in them, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, then the X-Wing's flying toward it at the end, but that was it.
And everything else
is like right on the surface.
Right on the surface. Right. Right.
And the Y-Wings, but Y-Wings don't count.
Yeah, well, nobody cares about why we
know.
I must say that speaking of that same sequence in the trailer, I was taken aback by what I was watching when you had that dark shadow, but I was looking at like, okay, I see the Death Star, I see stars in the background. What am I looking at here? And I couldn't quite get it until they panned back and you saw the the focusing element there for the super laser. I was like, oh, that's cool.
Once you caught that, it was the shadow of the dish being inserted.
Right.
Yeah. You know, nobody commented on...
There was even a couple more Star Destroyers in the background in that scene, too.
Right, yeah. Now there's a fleet of them. Nobody said anything about all the lens flare.
Yeah, no, I noticed that, too, though. There's that shot of Jyn Erso in the... when she's up against that window, and there's a big lens flare right mm-hmm. there. And I'm like, did they learn something?
And before that, it was about 15 seconds in when they're walking through the hangar. Listen, lens flare doesn't bother me. It's a natural, to me, it's a natural lighting effect. That's just, you know, that's how light happens. I just think it's funny that for all of the concerns about the lens flare with J.J. Abrams doing The Force Awakens, now we get a trailer where there are several shots early on with lens flare, and there's not been like a word of it that I've seen on Twitter. I found that funny. Like, it doesn't bother me or anything. It's just like, man, there's like, and as they're walking through this hangar, it's like constant lens flare all the way through the shot. It's just kind of weird.
Yeah, you're right. As strange, nobody else started hyping on that one.
Yeah.
It's because it's not J.J. Abrams.
Right. Yeah. If he did it, if there was like just a hint of lens flare in the corner of a shot somewhere, it'd be like, you're fired. We're starting a petition. So how about Mon Mothma?
That was really cool. And the fact that it's Genevieve O'Reilly from episode 3.
Yeah.
Like, I'm kind of glad they kept her resume on file.
No kidding. I mean, she nailed it. I'm like, wow, that is incredible. Is it like CG or something? And no, it's she just, I mean, she captures the, not just the look, but the mannerisms, the voice, facial expressions. Yeah. Mm-hmm. The poise. Yeah.
She's got it. You know, it's spot on.
And I have to say, I like the character too. The main character, Jyn, what's it? Erso. Okay. And we see a Grand Admiral who is not Thrawn.
Oh, we're not sure if it's a Grand Admiral or not, are we?
No, it's a Grand Admiral.
Yeah, traditionally.
I think they confirmed that, like, White is Grand Admiral in the new canon still.
Okay, because I thought I saw something somewhere online about White was also the ISB.
It is. If you look back in...
Oh, that's right, yeah.
A New Hope, one of the guys sitting around the table, I want to say, is it...
It's Yularen.
Yularen, yeah. Yeah. Yularen is ISB.
Okay, so you know,
and Mike,
one.
Good on you that you knew that's Yularen.
I know,
dude. What is up with your trivia skills?
Hey, this is why they brought me on Retro Convo.
No kidding, man. I'm impressed. Not many people can identify some of the. I mean, there are people out there who don't know like Tag and Ozzel Mahdi. And stuff like that, Mahdi. But when you start getting into like Wolf Yularen and stuff like that, that's fringe. Good job, dude.
Well, thank you.
So Lou, step up, man.
I'm trying. I can't keep up with Mike, though.
Oh, yeah. So that is, again, it appears to be a Grand Admiral, and I guess they confirmed it. Now I've got this paused. Is he holding a pistol or something in his left hand?
The Admiral?
Yeah. There's some kind of a metal cylinder. Maybe it's a staff.
I'm trying to find screenshots of it.
It's
I've been buried in with all of the screenshots of the new Stormtrooper armor.
Yeah.
Because I'm currently building my own set, and a lot of the groups.
About that.
Yeah, so a lot of the fan groups on Facebook and White Armor and all that. We've been kind of dissecting the armor a lot, and there's a ton of changes between this and the original trilogy suits.
Oh, really?
Mostly for like mobility purposes.
You talking about the black armor or the white armor?
The white armor, like the original Stormtrooper armor. There's a lot of differences in it that like normal fans aren't going to see. It's like, you know, it's a Stormtrooper is a Stormtrooper. But like, I'm like, oh, these are flat boots. They're not Elvis boots anymore. Like, oh, the kidney plate has five like diagonal cuts in it. Like,
yeah, you're going to be looking cool at like the spacing between the arm plates and things like that other people aren't necessarily even going to catch because they're looking primarily at the helmets and then just other general, you know, the busier parts of the armor, like the belt and things like that. So,
mm-hmm. yeah,
That.
But even then, the belt's different too.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. From what we can see, the belt is a solid plastic piece, whereas the original is canvas and plastic.
Interesting.
Very cool. Yeah. I mean, it makes you wonder why they made those changes. That's going to be something I'd like to hear about down the road. You know, if it was just for mobility and putting people in costume, sure. You know, if it doesn't ruin it for everybody else, great.
Yeah, but we're thinking it's for mobility reasons because you can't sit in original armor.
Yeah,
true. Like
that's one of the inside jokes is that we can't sit because the butt plate doesn't move. But this one, the butt plate is separate and has like wider gaps for your legs. So I don't know.
Well, you know, the Emperor didn't want his stormtroopers sitting around on their butts all day. When you think about it, it makes sense. True.
Right. I mean, you know, you got to be working, you know.
Yeah.
It's like in the Family Guy, you know, episode there where like, you know, we like a railing here, you know, next to the super laser. You know, they said? They said we'd be leaning on it all day, you know.
Yeah.
You can't have these guys slacking off.
That's true.
I mean, you're right. In service to our glorious emperor, we shouldn't be sitting. So
that's exactly right. Although at 1:06 in, it's not quite in focus, but there's a vehicle behind the stormtrooper in the foreground here. And by the way, that is a nice looking vehicle. But there's a different type of stormtrooper driving the vehicle and sitting out of, I don't know if it's going to be like a gun turret or what, but like sticking out of the top of it somehow. But a completely different helmet, completely different armor, a chest plate, arm plates.
Yeah, I see that. Yep.
Yeah, something that... I've never seen anything like this before, even in concept art.
So. Almost looks like a shield over his eyes, I guess.
Yeah, well, kind of above the eyes. Yeah.
I'm trying to find there's been a picture of this helmet online for a little bit, and it's very similar. It's like a cross between a stormtrooper, a scout trooper, and like the old ARF troopers from the Clone Wars.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Hmm.
Hmm.
501st is going to have their hands
full. Black stormtrooper.
Yes. What do you think of that?
Yeah. I don't know. I like that helmet. It's very different. Like, I don't know. Like, a lot of people are calling it a death trooper, like, kind of bringing that into the canon because of the whole Kyle Katarn Dark Forces thing. A lot of people are calling it the Shadow Trooper, which the Shadow Troopers are already kind of established as just black stormtroopers.
Right.
So I don't know. I'm kind of excited. He's got a pauldron on. He's got, you know, ammo belts on like a heavy trooper. So I don't know.
People are saying the helmet looks a little Fallout-ish.
It does look a little power armor-ish. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it was meant as a compliment, but. We see a little bit of Alan Tudyk's robot character in the trailer, too, mainly from the back.
Right. We're assuming. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a pretty safe assumption. He's running. He's fleeing with two main characters from a bunch of stormtroopers. So.
Yep. Now, when you get up in that same sequence area, right after that, the next shot, a bunch of stormtroopers running the other direction. There's a cream colored bunch of stormtroopers there too, different armor.
Yeah, it looks almost like a biker scout, but different.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think those are supposed to be the ones in that tank vehicle.
Okay, maybe, yeah. Their armor is definitely a different color though. It's definitely, you know, cream color ish.
Oh yeah, like it, yeah, it's definitely like very cream.
The helmet looks a little maybe it was just with all of the fog in the tank vehicle shot. It's a little harder to tell. I was going to say, it looks like there's more black in the scene where they're running, like more black in the helmet, but I think it was just the lighting. So, and then we have the samurai.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that scene.
There's already rumors as to who he is.
Yeah. I don't think that's accurate, but
I don't either. I don't subscribe to that one.
I don't know that it would bother me if it were accurate, but I don't think it's accurate. I should have done this before. I have not actually gone through like frame by frame. And
IO9's got a great breakdown of it. Is what I'm going through.
I've heard that. Yeah, I haven't actually read that yet.
Most of that today. Yep.
The AT-ATs, man. People have said there are differences in the AT-ATs between this
and I've been saying that. I think they're the AT-ATs from Rebels. They've got a little bit that taller body that the one in Rebels had.
Now, see, I didn't know if that was just a stylistic difference because, you know, with Rebels, the artwork is obviously different. But the head looks different, too.
Yeah,
a little bit.
Like, if you compare it with the one from Rebels, like, it's very similar. Like, this would be a realistic version of that one.
Hmm. Right, yeah, the head definitely looks different, and the body definitely looks taller than what we saw on Hoth. Hmm. And the one in the middle, the one that actually fires right at the screen, I know this isn't the case, but it looks like he's got a billboard in the size of him. I don't know if it's like, you know, Eat at Joe's or something. Is that tan-colored panel on the side of him?
Yeah.
No, Eat at Chalmers.
But it is cool to see AT-ATs again.
Yes. You know, I have to say, they showed a lot more in this trailer than I was expecting them to. I mean, it's not a full trailer in the sense that, A, it's a little
Wait, what?
B, there's
well,
not
that's
a
what led me to believe story. This was a full trailer. Because they gave
not
away
a
so
full
much.
Trailer, you said, Eric?
According to you, I'm trying to play nice here.
Sorry, I just had to bring it up again.
I'm sorry. If you look at the teaser that came out from TFA.
Yeah, I know, I know. Phantom Menace, that's why I was surprised that StarWars.com has it listed as a teaser trailer.
Okay. Okay. I'm saying this is an abbreviated trailer. This is more than just a teaser. It's not just, you know, right. the title card and a couple of shots of characters. I mean, there's dialogue. There are action scenes where we're actually seeing some things happen. I mean, they don't really reveal very much about what the plot of the movie is, excuse me, which is why, I mean, generally that is the trailer explains like what the point of the film is. I guess you could call this kind of an in-between, but yeah, I was not expecting this much footage to be revealed. I didn't expect us to see like a conversation between Jyn and Mon Mothma and all of that. It was very interesting.
And then, you know, the closing shot here is our, you know, lead character here dressed as a TIE pilot, it looks like.
The rumors are it's supposed to be an Imperial gunner.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm wondering what those two, like, rods on her back are.
Yeah.
Let me see here. They almost look like fighting sticks of some sort.
Yeah, like Eskrima sticks
kind,
or something.
Yeah. Kind of, yeah. Wait. If she's a gunner, is she going to get to wear the cool helmet? The one I love?
Yeah, she's got to wear the helmet.
Well, I love that helmet.
Well, I love that they brought back the Rebel helmet, too, at the very beginning when they're walking her through the base.
Yeah.
I've just never liked that helmet. I have never liked that
helmet. But you like the Death Star helmet? They're not that different.
Yeah, they're the same thing, just one's black.
Yeah.
Wait, what? The dumb-looking little white Rebel helmet that covers like half their head like they're riding a Segway or something?
It's just the black one has a faceplate in front of it, too.
It's got the whole bottom part with that lower piece that extrudes out past the top part. It's got a little slit for them to look out through. It's an awesome helmet.
Okay.
Going through that scene, I'm just looking in the background to see if there are any other ships. Like, you have that X-Wing back there.
Yeah.
Definitely no Y-Wings.
Good. Oh, I like this movie already. Let's see. No Tatooine. No Yoda.
They're sand, though.
No Y-Wings. There's also palm trees.
I was going to say, it looks more like a beach. It's palm trees.
Yeah, there's water. You see splashing up around the AT-AT.
A lot of people thinking this is Yavin, and it wouldn't make sense for this to be Yavin yet.
Well, right, because the Death Star approaches Yavin in A New Hope, doesn't it?
Yeah, because they tracked the Falcon there.
Right.
Right. This makes you say it doesn't make sense for this to be Yavin?
I mean, the base could be Yavin, but the battle with the AT-ATs couldn't be.
I'm sorry. I thought they meant the opening sequence. I'm like, yeah.
Oh, that could be Yavin.
Yeah.
Yeah, but no, the scene with the AT-ATs, no, Mike, you're right. There's no way.
Right. Yeah, if it wasn't, it'd be a much shorter movie that we had in 77.
All right. Well, we're going to tear the trailer apart a little bit more on Echo Base this coming episode. But Mike, before we move on, since you won't be there for Echo Base, anything else you want to say about the trailer?
I want to know who Diego Luna is playing. Like, I want to know if he's Biggs or not, because he's got the mustache, he's got the hair, he looks exactly like him.
That's the big question about Rogue One is what are the tie-ins going to be? What is the tie-in to Rebels? What is the tie-in to A New Hope? Are we going to see Biggs? Are we going to see any of the Ghost crew? I mean, I know that that's not what the movie's about, and we're not supposed to be focused on that, but we're Star Wars fans. We care about naming the aliens in the background of the cantina. We care about, you know, that Star Destroyer's the Devastator and that Star Destroyer's the Avenger. They look identical. But we're Star Wars fans. We care about these things. So
yeah, exactly. I mean, I'm waiting for my Rebels shout out in this movie.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Any predictions?
I hope we get it.
Any predictions on what it'll be?
There was a rumor. I talked about it on actually the last episode of the Forcecast. Mm-hmm. We talked about a new actress who got added, and she just mentions that she's in kind of like a battle scene. And I was like, oh, maybe she can play Hera.
Yeah.
So
that would be cool. Of course, if they're going to have Hera, I want to see Vanessa Marshall.
Oh, absolutely.
I know they won't do it, but, you know,
I just want to see some Twi'leks. That's all.
Yeah, right?
that was my biggest complaint about TFA was that just there were no classic aliens.
Yeah, we talked about that in our Slack channel earlier today. I think you were the one that brought it up, right?
Yeah, it was exactly what I said earlier.
Yeah.
Like, we got 100, you know, some new aliens that they designed for TFA, but none of the classic ones.
Right.
And we know George designed a million designs for the prequel trilogy, so why not use any of those? Like, a Torgruta would have been nice.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I mean, I get the need to bring in new aliens and stuff, and I like that. I appreciate that. There were some aliens I thought looked really, really cool, but I'm looking through Maz's bar there, and I'm like, really? There's nothing? There's no Bith? There's no, something walked by that looked wolfish, and I'm like, wait a minute, is that a Defel? Nope, nothing. You know, there's nothing there.
Yeah, the only classic alien we got was Ackbar. Ackbar and Nine Numb.
And Nine Numb, yeah.
True, yeah. And, you know, with all the other throwbacks in that movie that people complained about already, that it was too much like A New Hope, you'd think we could have at least a few aliens that are familiar looking.
Yeah. Well, I mean, but, you know, we're nitpicking, but great movie. Yeah, I mean,
I enjoyed the hell out of it. So.
Yeah, it would be nice in Episode 8, though, to see the return of some other aliens. And that's the thing. The Twi'leks, for example, seem to be a fairly prominent race throughout the galaxy. And they always have been in the other Star Wars lore as well. And I understand that some of that's getting, you know, dialed back a bit, but still in the canon, in the original trilogy films that we have, we still see quite a few Twi'leks. So it kind of seems like maybe we should see some more of those, and I feel like there are other aliens that just are more prominent, and I don't know. Yeah, well,
the way I saw it is that, like, if Star Wars is supposed to be a fantasy, like, the Twi'leks are the elves of this universe.
Okay.
So,
yeah.
Like, okay, yeah.
Like
that, I mean, works.
And elves are pretty prominent, so you would think the Twi'leks would be kind of there more. So.
Okay. Now that's interesting. So I guess the Wookiees would be the dwarves, just, you know.
I would say like the
technical
dwarves are like
strong,
like the, yeah.
I mean, obviously not short like dwarves, but Wookiees are, you know, the tinkerers.
I was even going to say like even just like the trolls, but like an orc, where they're just like the strong muscle. But yeah, they are they're smart too. So I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, they're kind of
craftsmen. It's not a perfect analogy, but
yeah. But it is kind of an interesting one. I've never really thought about that before. But given that Star Wars is more of a space fantasy than it is science fiction, that why is it that after all these decades, this is the first time I'm hearing of anybody making that comparison and that analogy? That's brilliant.
Yeah.
Jedi, Paige here in the chat room, Jedi are the mages or wizards. Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh. That's pretty cool. Never really thought about that. And then who are the hobbits?
Ugnaughts.
Yeah, I guess.
Maybe. You don't have any good one. Or Ewoks, maybe.
Okay, yeah, the Ewoks. So what is Yoda? Yoda's Gollum! Talks bunny? Lives in a swamp? Oh my gosh, this is... Oh, it's on now.
We're uncovering something here.
Lord of the Rings. Oh, this is awesome. Of course, and now I don't have any other analogy ideas, but that was my big contribution, is Yoda being Gollum. And we only see one of them. It's not like we see a whole race of them, right?
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
As far as we know, you know, Yoda's an evolved, you know, whatever a hobbit is in this universe.
Yeah, sure. Oh, I'm liking this.
Oh, boy. We've officially gone off the rails.
The Hutts could be like the trolls.
There you go.
Well, I don't know, because they're crime lords, too. So it's... Okay. Yeah, we... I would say back to the topic here, but I guess this is kind of is the topic. Mike,
that's what random chatter is, right?
Yeah, that's very true. Now, Mike, you're into gaming, right?
Yes.
Okay. So before I start asking you a bunch of random gaming questions and kind of pick at your brain a little bit here, tell us a little bit about what platforms do you game on? What type of games do you play? What's your, just in a nutshell, what's your gaming persona?
I'm mostly a console gamer. I do kind of dabble with my PC, and I'm on my 3DS a lot. So you can always find me on one of those three. Right now, I'm kind of knee deep in the middle of Fallout. There's a Pokemon competition coming up, so I'm kind of making a new team over there. And then I really love Splatoon on the Wii U. So it's kind of a wide range of games that I play.
Okay. You know, I tried Splatoon. My son got it for Christmas. He got a little frustrated with it because at six, it was a little bit tougher than I think he was able to handle. And it was his first person shooter, basically. So I played it and I was kind of helping him through it, and he enjoyed watching me play. And I got up to this one level, and it's got to be really early on in the game. But there's this big wall, and there are these paint scrubbers going back and forth that undo whatever you paint. It must have taken me like a half hour to get up this wall. And I felt like a complete idiot. I finally get up to the top of the wall. I immediately get killed by whatever's up at the top of it. I'm like, okay, I'm done. And shut it off.
Yeah, I know what level you're talking about. So it took me about 20 minutes on that one.
Okay, good, good, good. So I don't feel quite as bad.
No, it's not just you, but Splatoon very quickly became my favorite game on the Wii U.
It's a really good game.
Yeah, it's fantastic. It actually won Best Multiplayer last year at the Video Game Awards.
Really?
It beat out Call of Duty, beat out Destiny. Like, it's the little IP from Nintendo that no one thought would be a big thing, but it's quickly become like one of their top franchises.
The multiplayer is fun. I've only played locally, but yeah, it's pretty cool.
They do a fun thing every now and then called Splatfest, where you basically pick one side and that's your team for the weekend. And they're like, what's better, hot dogs or hamburgers? And like, it's cute stuff like that. So for Pokemon's 20th anniversary, they did what version did you think was better, red or blue? And I picked blue just to kind of go against the crowd. Mm-hmm. And we won for the weekend. And it's based on like how many matches you win, how many people like are on your team. And that all gets added up and then averaged out. And then that's how you pick the winner.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So, I mean, stuff like that's really fun. And they do these just often enough to keep like the community going and everything. And the game's almost been out for a year. They're still pumping out new weapons and new maps.
Oh, really?
And events like, oh yeah. And all for free.
Nice. Someone there needs to talk to EA.
Yeah.
Just saying. Wow. So you mentioned Pokemon, and yes. This is, what is it, the 20th anniversary or something?
The 20th anniversary this year was back in February, yeah. It's their 20th anniversary of release in Japan.
Ah, okay. So let me ask you this. I have a 3DS, and I haven't touched it in a long time. And I was starting to think, okay, what games do I want to like pick up and maybe start using it again? And I was wondering, A, if you had any recommendations of like must have games, and then B, like I'm the type of player, I could probably get into Pokemon, but if it's one of these things where I've got to like, you know, min max over numbers and stuff like that, then I probably just wouldn't sink that much effort into it. So is there a Pokemon game that I should consider picking up?
Yes. You should definitely pick up Pokemon X or Y, okay, which was the first version on the 3DS that came out a couple of years ago, kind of set the new standard for Generation 6. It was kind of a soft reboot, because competitively you had to rebreed all of your Pokemon. You couldn't use the same ones that you've had since 2003.
Okay.
But if you want to just kind of enjoy it as a game, it's a good maybe 20-hour game, okay, where you don't really have to worry about min-maxing. Okay. Now, if you want to play competitively, that's where you start getting into the math and EVs and IVs, and yeah.
Yeah, see, that's a lot of I don't see myself getting it. Like, there was a day where I might have gone that route, but I don't have the time anymore.
I barely do. I've got a set that I do, and then, like, that's how I train them, and if I don't do it perfectly, I don't have the time to go redo it.
Mm, yeah.
But definitely pick up at least X or Y or Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire, which were remakes of my favorite Pokemon games from 2003. Either one of those would kind of get you going.
Okay.
The story's kind of cool, and there's a cool like epilogue episode for some of them that kind of sets up a weird multiverse theory for Pokemon. But definitely worth checking out. Another game you might like if you want something a little bit more mature on the 3DS, like I highly recommend the Metal Gear Solid 3 port.
Okay.
If you've ever played any of the Metal Gear Solid 3s, Metal Gear Solid games, Metal Gear Solid 3 is my favorite one. They remade it for the 3DS using very specific 3DS controls and using the dual screen, like the bottom touch screen, really changed how the game worked.
Hmm. Okay. Yeah, I've never played any of the Metal Gear games.
Well, that's a good one to get too, because it's actually the first game in the chronology. So, there's Easter eggs for the other games in there, but you don't need to play the other games because this is the first game in the series, or the first, you know, game in the timeline.
Okay. Well, that's awesome. Maybe I'll pick
that. And then you know you got your Marios.
I've got the Mario Kart and the Mario Brothers and the Super 3D Ultra Spiffy Mario stuff.
There you go.
Yeah. As I'm quickly finding that my reflexes as a 40-year-old are not what they were when I was 12. Just depressing.
So that's what I have to look forward to then?
Yeah.
I'm 30. So
yeah, it's all downhill,
From here.
Yep.
Oh, great.
So platforms. Are you a PlayStation guy or an Xbox guy?
I'm a PlayStation guy. Okay. The fiance is an Xbox girl, so we've got a PS4, mass hysteria. But sorry, I just started thinking about Twinkies. we have every console. We have a 360 that's kind of sitting there. And we want to get an Xbox One because there are some cool games coming out for the Xbox One that are only on that platform that we're interested in. But yeah, okay. PS4 is what is our most used console in this house, next to the Wii U.
You mentioned Fallout.
Yes.
Now, Lou, you've got Fallout as well, right?
I don't.
You don't?
No, I haven't picked it up.
So the ultimate post-apocalyptic game.
Yeah, it looks awesome. It's one of the things I really want to play, but I'm also the kind of guy that can't jump between multiple games. And, if I start another one, it's like something else is going to suffer. And I'm like, well, let me just get through one.
Hmm. Okay. So here's where I stopped playing Fallout. I cleared a lot of the stuff in the area near where you start out. And I went into whatever that next town is, and where you first get the battle armor, and you have to kill, what is it, a death claw or something, whatever that.
Yeah, the death claw.
Oh my gosh. I felt like, wow, I never should have wandered out of my home area. Like, I must have wandered into like end game territory or something when I was fighting that thing. And then I found out, yeah, everybody kind of did the same thing and I'm just a wuss. But anyway, I got through that and I started moving down into whatever that next big town is. I got the shopping, the grocery Diamond store City cleared out. Yeah. And I was trying to get to the next big population center and I realized it was like a lot further away than I thought. I apparently need to upgrade my gear or something because I started to do worse and worse the further I got down the road to where I thought I was supposed to be going next. Like I thought, okay, this is the next part of the story. This is where I'm supposed to go. I must be ready to go there now. And I'm like getting my butt handed to me every 10 seconds. So then I thought, okay, well, I'll go back to, you know, the gas station, or I forget the name of the original town you start out at. And, you know, I'll start like building things and doing the whole little, like setting up a town, a little base of operations and stuff. And then I realized, well, there's still a lot of stuff I can't make. And I don't really have a clear vision of what I'm trying to do with this. And that was kind of the point at where I kind of stopped playing, moved on to other things just because I kind of felt like I didn't know where to go next. So should I have just kept pressing on to that next town, like where you meet the next person who you recruit and all this kind of stuff? Or should I be clearing out a lot of the areas around me as I go?
You kind of have to soldier on with that game because you are kind of impaired at first. And once you kind of get going, that's when the game's going to start opening up. Now, I've been playing it since it came out in November. And I think story-wise, I'm about halfway through the game finally. Because one of my favorite things to do is just kind of run around and, like, I make supply runs for my town. Like, I go out, find stuff, buy it, trade it, and then go back, dump it in my workshop, and then start upgrading my towns.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to do that. It's just how I choose to play the game.
Right.
But as you do that, like, you start acquiring more better materials so you can start upgrading your weapons. Because for the longest time, I was carrying a two-barreled shotgun. That I upgraded a lot and I wound up liking it so much. I named it the Ms. Liz, which if anybody gets that reference,
I don't, but that wouldn't be the first reference Lou? I didn't get this episode. So
no, I don't get it either. Sorry.
I'm checking the chat room real quick.
There's a 30-second delay. So
no, I know. All right. It's a reference from King of the Hill. It's just what they named one of their shotguns.
Oh, okay. My favorite. All right.
Anyway, yeah, it's just it's been a lot of fun, but you kind of have to soldier on, and you don't, like I said, you don't necessarily have to do all the story content because there's so much in the game. So much of the game is just exploring.
Right.
And when I finally get the story mission that requires me to go to a certain area, a lot of the time I've already been there and cleared it out already. So the story mission is actually super easy at that point.
Well, that's good.
Yeah. Okay. You die a lot at first because you wander into places you didn't know, and this is actually the first Fallout game that I've played. Now, like Eric, you and I've talked about it before. Like you've played like the older ones, right?
Right. Yeah. The really older ones, the ones with the isometric view, and Fallout Tactics. It was, owned by someone different back then. I don't always keep up with like the owners and the different, the development studios and stuff like that. But, yeah, it was pre Fallout 3. I'm trying to think of what years those came out, but it was a long, long, long time ago.
Fallout 3 was 2007-ish.
Okay, but there was a long gap, I think, between Fallout Tactics and Fallout 3.
Yeah, I think it was a couple of years. I'm trying to pull it up right now. Yeah, Fallout Tactics was 2001.
Yeah.
And then Fallout 3 was 2008. And I played a little bit of that, and I played a little bit of Fallout New Vegas, but not enough to kind of get super invested. So when my fiance was like, oh, like, let's play Fallout 4, she was really excited for it. So I got on the hype train, and I've actually wound up playing it a lot more than she has.
Slacker.
Hey, no. I mean, I don't give it to her.
The truth comes out. Okay.
I've been kind of hogging the controller on that one.
So Lou and I are both relatively new to the PS4. I've had mine since what, last summer? And Lou, you got yours November when Battlefront came out.
Battlefront came out.
Yeah. Any particular games that you would highly recommend? Like, oh, you've got to get, like, if you own a PS4 and you don't have this game, there's something wrong with you.
I mean, that's the only downside about the PS4, I would say, is that there still isn't really a super killer app for it.
Okay.
Most of the best games for it are multi-platform, like Far Cry, Metal Gear Solid 5. There's a couple good ones for it specifically, but unfortunately, those are remasters of older games.
Okay.
So if you've never played them, they're actually really good to go pick up for the first time. Like The Last of Us was one of my favorite games of all time. They made it so late in the PS3's life cycle that the next year they came out with the PS4 version.
Okay.
So highly recommend getting that.
Mine came bundled with that, and I still haven't played it yet.
Oh, you got to play that. I've only played it once, and mm-hmm. like I said, it's one of my favorite games of all time, but even though I've only played it once, like that game still sticks with me.
Yeah.
And I don't want to sour that memory of how much I love that game by replaying it. I've tried. I get through the first 20 minutes and I'm like, you know what? I can't commit to it because I don't want to ruin that feeling.
Interesting.
But they've been trying to turn it into a movie for the last couple of years, but
yeah.
It's kind of in development hell now, unfortunately. So,
well, and I heard that and the Uncharted film just recently, people behind the scenes were kind of commenting on the fact that it's fallen even further into development hell. Like they're basically stagnant now.
Yeah. I mean, I can live with Uncharted. Uncharted is one of my other favorite franchises, both by the same studio, Naughty Dog.
Mm-hmm.
I can kind of live without an Uncharted movie. There's really no one who can kind of bring that charm. Like maybe Nathan Fillion could have back in his, you know, younger days,
mm-hmm.
but he's just kind of aged himself out of the part now, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Okay. So I can live without an Uncharted movie. Last of Us though, like that's gotta be made. Like that has, it, the story for it is kind of a basic, you know, post-apocalyptic, you know, world. But the difference between this one and a normal zombie movie is that it's a fungal infection rather than like a zombie outbreak. And so it's a little creepier because literally the air you breathe could infect you at any time.
Interesting.
That
and
is
so
a different
that's,
take.
That's the world they live in.
Okay. Anything coming up that we should keep our eyes on? I know No Man's Sky is coming soon, and that's a big one.
That's exactly what I was going to say. No Man's Sky is one of the games I'm looking forward to this year, because it's so immense. Like I'm a big space sim guy.
Yeah,
like I love TIE Fighter, the X series, all of those. But yeah, No Man's Sky just seems to be like a big budget, ironically by an indie company studio.
Yeah.
Yeah, surprising.
But it's a big budget game, so a lot of people are kind of like, all right, like, should we pay $60 for this or not?
You know, I've wasted $60 on more ridiculous things in my life. So as long as there's nothing that is revealed to be like game crushing about this, I'll probably pick it up. Like, unless I find out on my way to GameStop that all of the servers are crashing left and right and completely unable to keep up with the load and they don't know how to fix it. Like, unless there's something that just demolishes the game, I'm probably going to pick it up. I'm like you. I mean, the vastness of it appeals to me. I like the MMO setting. I love Space Sims. See, to me, it feels like so many of the console games these days are first-person shooters, and I don't have that twitch reflex anymore. And when I do really well on first-person shooters on a PC with the mouse and keyboard, not so much on a console. And I know there are ways you can rig that up on a console, too. But So when I play stuff actually, on the PlayStation.
Now that you mention it, the newest PS4 update lets you remote play on your PC.
Yeah, but don't you I guess you could use a mouse and keyboard for that, right?
I haven't tried it yet, but I heard some people are trying to find a way to map it so that you can use your mouse and keyboard.
See, interesting. That would be great.
So I'm probably going to be playing with that in the next couple days.
Yeah, let me know how that goes.
Yeah, let us know how it works. Yeah.
But yeah, No Man's Sky. I'm excited for it because like they've gone on record saying that literally you're going to have such a small chance of running into a random player. The universe is so vast in this game.
Right. Yeah. I remember reading something about that saying they expect most players won't explore more than like 2% of the entire game.
Yeah.
I'm but like, oh my God.
Then are you ever going to run into anybody at all? I mean, is it?
I don't know if you're going to run into random people, but like if we set up like a party, like I'm assuming that the three of us would be able to play together.
Okay. All right. So there are ways to find other people in the game. At least that's the presumption.
Yeah. Like
I imagine.
Good.
Okay. I don't think they've gone on record too much about that much, but yeah, like I would assume you'd be able to at least party up with your friends because every game has to have that component.
Yeah.
Right.
I'm trying to think what other game.
And that's coming out in June, I think, right?
Yeah, June.
Yeah. I forgot to mention my son's birthday party was last weekend. And so his cousins came over and the oldest of them, he's 11, I think. We were playing Battlefront, which I haven't touched since the first day because I'm on Wi-Fi. I have not yet figured a good way to run Ethernet from the router downstairs up to where the PlayStation is on the second floor. So he and I were playing local, you know, we did co-op, we did versus, I set the controller down and my wife's like, oh, let me try. So she picks it up. So they're playing the survival mode and she and he got further along than he and I did. We got up to the 15th round and died. She made it all the way through. She's like, hey, I'm liking this. Can we play this again? Like later tonight when they go home? I'm like, who are you? And what did you do with my wife? So she likes Battlefront.
Good problem to have.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
I think I saw you playing that night and I was like, what the heck? Eric's actually on playing Battlefront. Cause usually you're playing
Diablo or Division.
Last time I saw you playing was like a Disney Infinity.
Oh yeah. My son got the Battlegrounds thing that came out recently. So he's been playing on the PS4.
So. Oh,
which I don't allow him to do, but it's pretty good. He has a favorite level, like a favorite, what's the word I'm looking for? Location. So he just plays that same one over and over again. I'm like, okay, Nicholas, I'd like to see what the other maps look like. I'd like to see the other rooms. And I don't just want to play these two characters over and over again. And he's like, no, but this is fun because Falcon can fly. I'm like, yeah, no, Falcon's cool. But what about the Hulkbuster? Yeah, I don't want to play that one yet. Oh, okay. So but I can, right? And it's like once he gets his mindset on something. But at least I can play Infinity with him now in such a way where it's not just us running around in the toy box and him picking me up and throwing me off of cliffs. That's a nice change. Anyway, yeah. So my wife, Battlefront, who would have thought? It boggles my mind. And for not having played ever before and for never having played a first-person shooter ever, she did okay. Like there's a lot she's got to learn. Like when you've got people surrounding you, you know, back up because then you bring them all into your field of vision more. There are some basic tactics she needs to learn, but I mean, for the most part, she held her own okay. So you're
saying that if I just randomly party up with you and all of a sudden you're really good,
it's probably her.
It's probably her.
Yes. Yes. Sadly, that is correct. Yeah, I've got to wire the Ethernet up there because when I played the demo, I did the solo stuff. I'm like, oh, this is really cool. And then I jumped into a multiplayer map and I would shoot at someone and instead of them dying, they would disappear. And I'm like, wait a minute. How, what is that, a glitch? What's going on? And then all of a sudden, like, he teleported behind me and shot me in the back of the head. I'm like, wait a minute. My Wi-Fi can't keep up. That's what's going on. So people are teleporting all over the place. I can't shoot anybody because they're not actually there. So that's one of the reasons.
That's always frustrating. Yeah.
That's one of the reasons I never went back to Battlefront. And again, you know, the first person shooters, a lot of them are not as story based. A lot of them are more multiplayer focused. And I've got both the Wi-Fi issue to deal with and my son. You know, if you're in a game with a bunch of other, it's another reason I don't play World of Warcraft anymore. You know, you don't want to be in a raid and have someone say, oh, I got to go AFK for 15 minutes while I go take care of my kid. It's just not, you're not going to be the guy that anybody wants to invite back into the group again. So I've been much more selective with my multiplayer gaming and stuff like Diablo. I like, it's, you know, it's a dungeon crawl. You get loot. You don't have to, your aim doesn't have to be perfect. You can pause every now and then if you need to. The multiplayer, the Wi-Fi can handle it. That's more my type of game these days, it seems like.
Well, that's why old. You should get on there on the 3DS more often. You just close it up and then go do what you're doing, open it back up, and it's ready to go. In fact, was a really good dungeon crawler game for it a couple of years ago. I'm trying to remember what it was called.
I love dungeon crawlers. So,
oh man, I can't remember what it was called, but it was put out by Square Enix, like the Final Fantasy people.
Okay. And yeah.
So the pedigree's there. Right. I remember downloading the demo and I was like, oh, this is really, really good.
Well, I'll look it up. I mean, it shouldn't be that hard to find if it's by Square. I mean, that should be easy to look up.
If it's not by Square, I'm going to feel like a dummy.
And I'll call you out on it too. So, you know, don't worry.
No, please do.
All right. Well, enough about gaming for now. We're at about an hour point on the show, but before we go, I want to talk to you a little bit about Retro Convo. So that's a new show that we just recently brought to the Random Chatter Network. I think I've told the story before. You know, you've been on the Sabacc table. You and I met at Celebration in Anaheim. Yep. And we brought you onto the Sabacc table. And then once we moved over to the Random Chatter Network, you said, you know, I also do this other show. And it seems like maybe it might be kind of a good fit. I don't know. Why don't you check it out? And I'm like, okay. I mean, you know, I've kind of got to get the network up and running first. But, you know, you're a good host. I like the stuff you do on the Sabacc table. I'm sure whoever else you're podcasting with is if they're at your level, they've got to be really good. So, yeah, I'll give it a listen. Why not? So I checked out the Tailspin episode. And
that was one of my favorites.
Oh, my gosh. I'm like, oh, no, this is so going on our network. And so, you know, I talked with you. I talked with Ernie. And we brought you guys over, and it's been great. Thank you so much for this. I know that you personally, this isn't your cup of tea, but of course, the first episode to appear on the Random Chatter Network is The Dark Knight Returns.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh my gosh, that could not have been a better Christmas present, even though it's not Christmas. Because for me, I mean, I'm a big Batman fan, and I love that story. I didn't care so much about the sequel to it, but that was, again, I know not your thing, but it was a really good episode.
Well, I like Batman. I mean, I grew up loving Batman. I think I had a Batman costume for 4 years, my first 5 years of being alive. So
nice.
Nice.
Like, and I love the 66 Batman.
Now see, that's where we differ.
Oh, see, that's my favorite Batman.
Okay.
And
fair enough.
I'm a studying Batmanologist at the moment. So,
okay.
I mean, we can have a discussion on that someday if you want.
Oh, absolutely. Lou, you've got some catching up to do.
Yes, I do.
So, I mean, my biggest thing about it was just basically, if you guys haven't listened to the episode, I don't care for the Dark Knight Returns. Like, I think it's required reading if you're a Batman fan, mm-hmm. but I wouldn't have necessarily based my, you know, whole cinematic universe on this particular story.
Right.
And I think it would have made a fine movie someday, but definitely not. It should be the culmination of a 20-year friendship between Batman and Superman, not necessarily the first thing they do coming out the gate.
That's a good point. That's actually a really fair point. I mean, because Batman versus Superman obviously had some very direct throwbacks to The Dark Knight Returns, and especially the actual battle between Batman and Superman. And I guess I never really thought about that, but that's an excellent point. The battle we see in the comic books, I mean, they have a history together.
Yeah, there's a lot. There's so much kind of not necessarily anger, but like pity from Bruce on Superman,
right?
That's because he realizes that he's such a tool. In this one, it's more of kind of a blind hatred.
Yeah.
And that, to me, just it's a weaker premise. In fact, I don't think Zack Snyder intended to do this, but it's very, you know, kind of topical onto like our current climate.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I also still haven't seen the movie. I've spoiled it for myself, and I've read plot synopsises because I'm like, all right, I'll see it some other time, but I know it's going to be ruined for me.
Well, that's funny because you just actually, unintentionally, of course, but you actually just kind of lessened my opinion of the movie a little bit.
Oh, see, and you bet heavily on it in our movie draft.
I did. Well, and so far, I'm doing okay. I'm beating out everybody else whose movies haven't even aired yet.
That's okay. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Out of the Shadows. I'm telling you.
Oh, here we go.
You know, here's the thing. I would have laughed at you until I saw the drop off of Batman versus Superman and into the second weekend. Now I kind of have to, I don't know. I can laugh now knowing I'll be crying later.
Yeah. You know, by the way, you got to update our spreadsheet too, because it doesn't quite appear updated.
Well, I update it every Monday. So it has been updated as of Monday. Because that's when the weekend box office results come out.
Okay, but I mean, I don't see anything for some of the movies from 325 or Pandemic from 4-1. Unless you're just trying to slate Nate, which
I didn't see any results from Pandemic. I looked. I didn't see any. And the other films didn't have any results either. Get a Job was actually straight to video, home video. Yeah, and Identicals, Netflix just sent me the disc earlier today. It's in fact, I think it's still sitting out in my mailbox. So, yeah.
Okay, well.
Yeah, sorry. I think Chris had Identicals.
Yeah, he did.
I think he had Get a Job, too.
I think I'm good. I think Turtles is my first movie. And then I have The Huntsman, which I forget when that comes out.
That's in May, end of the month, I think.
It's the end of this month?
I think so, yeah. I think I saw a stand-up at the movie theater today for April release.
No, Mike, I was a little worried about you at first, and then I went back and looked at my own, and I'm like, oh, Mike doesn't have a lot, but the ones he has are
pretty I'm waiting until next month for my stuff.
I played a very specific game. So
you did, and it was smart. I'm still a little nervous about the fact that you had a lot of credits left over that weren't spent. But
yeah, that's going to help me out in the end, I think.
Yeah. I think you're a contender. If not,
Finding Dory too.
It'll be well, see, and that's why.
Yeah,
Finding Dory is going to save you, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, because I don't think Turtles doesn't do much for you, to tell you the truth, but we'll see.
I don't know. I think it's going to bring in the kids are going to go for it.
Yeah.
I'm going to go for it.
The kids at heart are going to go for it.
Mike is going to single-handedly get that movie up over the $200 million mark.
Whole opening weekend will be mostly me. So.
All right. So real quick, anyway, back to Retro Convo. Why don't you tell people a little bit about the show?
So it's myself, Ernie, who's a good friend of mine. I've known him for a couple of years. We worked together at our last job, Randy and Raul. And so the three of them a long time ago started this podcast about a year ago. And they just kind of started talking about like, hey, like, you know, we like old Nintendo games. And so they were talking for like an hour And then we're like, hey, let's turn this into a show. So Ernie tells me about it. I listened to a couple episodes and they had already done Ninja Turtles at that point. And I was kind of like, what the heck?
Yeah.
So I started like texting him corrections and kind of getting in there, kind of like what I do to you guys in the chat room,
which is good.
So, a little while later, after I've already joined, the Pock Table and the Forcecast Network, they were like, oh, like we're going to do Star Wars. Do you want to be on that episode? So I was like, heck yeah. Like, let's do that. So we did like a little cross promotion, like, you know, hey, like this is Mike from the Forcecast Network.
Mm-hmm.
And after that, one of the hosts had just left. And so they're like, hey, we need a fourth person. Do you want to just be on the show permanently? And I was like, heck yeah, let's go ahead and do that. And so, yeah. So ever since then, we've been kind of, we're a monthly show. We record and then usually about a week or two later, the episode's out. We've done, since I've been on the show now, we've done Tailspin, Darkwing Duck, Dark Knight Returns. We did, episode 4 and 5 of Star Wars. They did 6, but I was sick that day, so I couldn't make it. And our newest episode, which just came out, which I'm super proud for, Surf Ninjas, which have you guys ever seen that movie?
No. Explain Surf Ninjas a little bit.
So Surf Ninjas came out. It is the perfect epitome. It came out in 1993. It is the perfect combination of Hollywood's fascination with surfing, California culture, ninjas, martial arts, all wrapped up in one movie. And it's got the weirdest cast. It's got Leslie Nielsen, Tone Loh, Kelly Hu.
Ernie
Reyes Jr.
I'm sorry. You had me at Leslie Nielsen and Tone Loh?
Yep. They don't share any scenes together, but Leslie Nielsen and Tone Loh are in a movie together.
Wow.
And so I love this movie so much. And one of our Patreon listeners, Jared, suggested it to us.
Mm-hmm.
And we had been kind of tossing around our ideas for this movie or for this month. And we're like, oh, like, hey, he tweeted, let's do Surf Ninjas. I was like, heck yeah, let's do Surf Ninjas. And so that kind of got the ball rolling. And I kind of called in a favor. I remembered a friend of mine knows one of the actors in the movie. So I was like, hey, like, do you think he'd be willing to come on the show? And sure enough, we became friends on Facebook and he came down to our studio and we recorded the whole episode with him. So
nice.
The younger brother of the movie, his name's Nick Cowan. Well, his real name's Nick Cowan. He drove all the way down to our studio from LA, recorded with us for a couple hours, and now he's a friend of the show.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. So it felt really cool, like, to kind of get new insight of this movie, especially a movie that I love so dearly. You can kind of hear me babble just as much as I'm babbling now about it in this episode.
Nothing wrong with that.
Now, see, I totally would not be interested in this, but now as you're describing it, it sounds like one of those movies where it's so bad, it's good.
Well, that's how I describe it. Raul, the other guy on one of the other hosts, he described it as two kids that are taken from their war-torn country. They're driven out by like a warlord, only to kind of find out 20 years later that they are like the rulers of the prophesized rulers of this country and they have to go back and save it.
Uh-huh.
So now it's the same movie that I described, but now he's just given it a whole kind of deeper premise.
Yeah. I like your description better.
I feel mine is pretty apt. So
is it on Netflix? No. Is it somewhat easy to obtain?
Yes and no. Unfortunately, okay. It's not well supported by New Line Cinema, the company that distributed it.
Mm-hmm.
And we kind of talk about this in the episode too. It's kind of hard to find. There was a DVD release a couple of years ago, just very bare bones, and that's it. And that's really the only legal way to get it.
Mm-hmm.
However, there is a full version of it on YouTube, and that has been there for years, and nobody is trying to take down.
Nice. Like so, a whole version where it's all in one video, or is it like split up over different segments?
It is all in one video. It is like an hour and a half YouTube video. Unfortunately, it is not great quality and it is zoomed in a little bit, but you can watch the whole movie for free on YouTube.
Wow. Okay, well, that's actually, like, I was totally uninterested in it, and now you've kind of piqued my interest. I may go watch that now.
It's definitely an artifact of the early 90s, which is specifically what we try to cover on our show. We cover things.
Now, that's another question. Yeah. What's the cutoff for you guys?
20 years ago from this date. So last year was 1995. Now this year is 1996.
Okay.
And so next year will be 1997.
So you guys do keep moving bar along as time goes on.
Yeah, like that's kind of our cutoff goal. I mean, we can cover anything going backwards as far back as we want, but 20 years is kind of our cutoff.
Okay. So in 3 years, 2.5 years, you'll be able to cover The Phantom Menace.
I know. Isn't that crazy? We're at that point.
That seems strange.
It does. It seems very strange. Well,
I can remember the ticket I bought for that day.
Yeah.
So is there anything you can spoil for us as far as other things you're considering covering on the show coming up? Or are those all tightly guarded secrets?
It's not really tightly guarded secrets. We're kind of in the planning stages for our May episode. Right now, we're kind of tossing a couple things. Ernie, congratulations to Ernie. He's having a kid soon.
Oh, nice.
So he's going to be taking off for a little bit. So okay. We're trying to figure out, line up the next couple months. We were doing the Disney Afternoon. We still have a couple more shows to go through in that suite. So like DuckTales, Gargoyles. I'm really kind of pitching a Mega Man episode. We want to cover... totally drawing a blank now. Power Rangers. Power Rangers, okay. Huge when I was a kid. Randy and I are the same age, so we've got a huge love for it. Raul and Ernie are a little bit older, so they don't love it as much. But, I mean, Power Rangers is huge. Still is. I mean, they're still making new shows.
Yeah, well, and aren't they doing a movie or something coming up?
They're doing a movie based off of the Mighty Morphin version, which was the first one that came out when I was young.
Yeah.
And it's got some like real legitimacy to it. Like
I've noticed
Elizabeth
that.
Banks is in it.
Yeah. Yeah. Like they're actually taking it pretty seriously. It looks like.
So yeah.
Now I have not
super stoked for that one.
I've not gone through all of the back catalog for Retro Convo yet. Cause I honestly didn't discover it until you mentioned it. Like I've heard of it before and it was probably from you at some point, but I never really went back and said, oh my gosh, yeah, I where have I been? I need to start listening to this until you introduced it to me. So have you guys covered the Transformers yet?
That's a good question. I've only actually listened to the episodes that I'm in.
Okay. But for the ones you're in, you have not.
Just kidding. No, I don't think they've actually covered Transformers in full just yet.
Okay.
I think that was on the docket, but I could be wrong about that.
All right. So I want to make a special request. I'm the type of guy, I normally don't like inviting myself into other people's homes, but if you guys ever cover Transformers, especially the old Generation 1 stuff, I would like to throw my hat in the ring to participate if you guys ever needed a guest.
I'm sure we could. I mean, I'm sure we can make that happen.
Okay. Just want to throw that out there. That if there is a childhood franchise love of mine that comes close to Star Wars, Transformers would be dangerously close to that.
Not so much. Do everything and no, there is no Transformers episode.
Ah, okay. So, just throwing it out there. If you guys ever hit Transformers, I would also be up for G.I. Joe, but especially Transformers.
Hey, I'm sure we can make that happen. I'm surprised that we haven't covered that just yet.
I'm surprised.
Lou, do you have any requests?
I'll have to get back to that and think about what I've got in my mind here. But yeah, I'm sure I can look at your old catalog too and see what you guys haven't done.
Yeah.
But being older, I may be, you know, too old. So must have been even older for you guys. So we'll have to find out.
You remember when they first came out with the Slinky and.
Oh, come on. Let's not go that far back.
We're the Retro Convo, not the History Channel.
Ah, ouch.
Well, you know, my first video game wasn't Etch-A-Sketch. So.
Well, there you go. So, yeah, you know, it's such a cool concept, though, that because you guys are doing, you know, 20 years ago, but then you keep shifting it forward, there's always going to be new stuff to cover. And like for my generation and Lou's generation, 20 years ago, you know, for some people, they were just little kids. For some of us, we were in high school. For some of us, we were in college. And we all have different points of nostalgia for that time period, whatever time it was, you know, whether it be 20 years ago or 30 years ago, any time in that general block of chronology there. So that's really cool. Everybody's covering all the new stuff, you know, like what we do, you know, the new Star Wars stuff and the new movies coming out. But for so many of us, especially those of us who've grown up in a culture where entertainment and television and movies are part of what we grew up with. I mean, my parents, that wasn't a thing. You know, they'd go to the movie theater a couple of times a year and that was it. And television was something that, you know, you might watch a little bit of a few times a week, but it was mainly, you know, their parents would watch the news or something like that. But for us, I mean, I hate to say it, but televisions were our babysitters in some cases.
Yeah.
And, you know, movies were our go-to, you know, extracurricular activity. I mean, this is, and then with the advent of home video, you know, VHS tapes and rental stores and stuff like that, our generations, there's so much of our growing up and our nostalgia that's wrapped up in that. And really nobody's touching it when it comes to podcast shows. So, you know,
yeah, that's kind of what we're finding as, especially with this 20 year thing, is that like when you hit, you're about 20, 25 years old, like that's when your nostalgia engine really starts going on.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we just want to talk about it, and by us moving it forward, we can still cover newer generations.
Right. Right. I think it's brilliant. And I'm kind of surprised that nobody else is doing it, but I'm grateful that you guys are. And fortunately, and I'm not just saying this because you're on the network, quite the contrary, I agreed to pull you into the network, even if it meant with you guys kicking and screaming because of this. But you guys have a great show. Like, I'm grateful you're doing it, but I'm also grateful that it's, you know, talented hosts doing this show. You guys have some really good insights and you're interesting to listen to. The banter and the camaraderie is good. You know, I mean, all around, it's a great podcast. I feel kind of silly for not having caught you guys earlier.
No, thank you for being open to bringing us on too. Like we really appreciate it. And we actually give you a really nice shout out in the newest episode.
Well, thank you. And now you're see, better, I have to go watch
Now you have Ninjas to listen
before
to it.
I listen to it though. So no, like I said, I'm glad you said something, because otherwise I might not have, well, number one, I might not have ever bothered to bring you guys into the network, and I'm so glad that I did. But number two, I just, as a listener, I wouldn't have caught your show, and that would have been like in hindsight, that would have been depressing to me, because like I haven't thought about Tailspin in ages. And then listening to your show, like I have this big grin on my face the whole time I was driving around listening to it. I'm like, it's like, oh, I remember Don Carnage. I like the name Don Carnage.
You have to say it right. Remember, I said that in the episode. You have to say it right.
Oh, but I can't.
Don Carnage.
Yeah, I can't roll my R's like that. Oh, you do it so well. But like, I haven't heard that name in like a decade or two. And, you know, all of this stuff just comes flooding back, which is awesome. So anyway, I'm going to stop gushing.
That's the mission. Now. That's what we want.
Yeah. Well, you guys do a great job of it. So, and thank you for hanging out in the chat room, because, you know, it was just kind of one of those, hey, you know, Mike's here. Why don't we grab Mike and pull him into random chatter for once and have him.
Yeah. It worked out good.
So, yeah.
Oh, hey, thanks. Thanks for having me. I mean, I had nothing to do tonight. It's only
awesome.
It was only 8:30 over here. So,
oh yeah. It's almost midnight here.
Yeah, so my pillows call me.
Yeah, we should probably wrap it up. So, all right. Well, that's going to be it for this episode of Random Chatter. I don't have any show notes here in front of me, so bear with me as I try to muddle my way through the outro here. We would love to hear from all of our listeners out there. Shoot us an email, randomchatter@randomchatter.com. You can find us on Facebook and Twitter. The Facebook page is at facebook.com/randomchatternetwork. On Twitter, it's just Random Chatter. I am Eric Blythe. That's E-R-I-K-B-L-Y-T-H-E. Lou, where can we find you on Twitter?
I'm on Twitter. My name is just Lou Secchi, L-O-U-S-E-C-K-I.
Okay, and Mike, with the throwback to a very awesome movie, what's your Twitter account?
It is It's the Rocketeer. That's I-T-S, the Rocketeer, which oddly enough, we haven't covered yet. So
well,
that just dawned on me.
Yeah.
Gonna have to rectify, you know,
rectify it, yeah.
That. Yeah.
Have to rectify that.
I forget who all is in it, except I remember it's got Jennifer Connelly.
Billy Campbell. Alan Alda. Oh, not Alan Alda. Oh God.
Well,
all right.
It doesn't matter. It's got Jennifer Connelly.
We can edit that out.
I'm not editing anything.
Bonus content.
Yeah.
There you go. Bonus content.
Hey, if it's got Jennifer Connelly in it, I automatically will at least consider it.
Yeah.
Always had a crush on Jennifer Connelly. So anyway. Okay. So where were we in the closing? I completely lost track. It's the Rocketeer Twitter. And you guys haven't covered it yet. And you guys got to fix that. And
there we go.
When you guys do fix it, it will also be posted over at randomchatter.com, which is where everybody can find all of the shows on the network. We've got this show, Random Chatter. We've also got Echo Base. We've got all of Jay's shows covering the TV shows like Green Justice covering Arrow, Scarlet Velocity for Flash. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Case Files is for S.H.I.E.L.D. And, of course, we've also got the Sabacc Table and the Retro Convo. So check it out, randomchatter.com. You can subscribe to the entire network in both iTunes and on Stitcher and wherever fine podcasts are sold. I don't know. I know we're in some other directories out there as well. We would love it if you'd leave us reviews wherever you're getting your podcasts from. It helps our visibility. It helps bring new listeners into the community as a result of making it easier for them to find the shows. And don't forget to tell your friends about us. You know, word of mouth is a great way to introduce new people to the shows as well. We do live shows every Tuesday and Thursday night. See, I'm already starting to trip over my words here. Tuesdays and Thursdays, 9 p.m. Eastern. We generally run a couple of minutes late getting started, but we're normally there in the chat room and have some music going, or in this case, the Rogue One trailer looping, which is kind of cool. You can find us at randomchatter.com/live, or you can just log into Ustream and search for Random Chatter. You can find us that way. A shout out to all of our Patreon donors. We really appreciate the people who have been helping support the network that way. Joel, Tim, Derek, Jeremy, Jared, Alex, Jeff, Joe, Joshua, Blake. We really appreciate it. Even if you just give a dollar through Patreon, you'll get access to our bonus content that we post, including Random Chatter. We normally post it a few days early on patreon.com. So another little added bonus. And we've introduced our Slack channel for people to be able to hang out with us all day and talk stuff like new trailers that come out or, you know, whatever conversations we're having that day, which is a lot of fun for us, too. And we've got good feedback from the donors who are participating in that. So if you'd like more information on how to help support the network, head over to patreon.com/randomchatter. That's a mouthful. What else?
Did that well.
Thank you.
Through it.
Yeah, I'm still tripping over my words here, though. This podcast is copyright 2016, randomchatter.com, and as silly as the sentence sounds, all trademarks are owned by their respective owners, so please don't sue us. We're poor. And that's it for this episode of Random Chatter. Mike, thank you once again for hanging out with us. We really appreciate it.
Oh, thanks for bringing me on, guys.
All right, we will catch everybody next week. Until then, take care.